Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
I was really proud of everybody last week. If you missed the session last week, we're working all summer on overcoming betrayal and rejection because we believe that behind addiction is a lot of hurt that hasn't gotten resolved. And it needs to be faced, and it needs to be felt, and it needs to be finished with. And so we've divided it into three steps. Accepting rejection, that finished last week. I've been rejected. Someone has rejected me. I'm rejected. That's why I feel like that. That's why that hurts so much. No one ever does anything to deserve betrayal and rejection. To take a relationship and use it for your own benefit, and then when it doesn't suit you anymore or it gets too hard, to discard it like it's nothing or meaningless is among the most cruel acts that a human being is capable of. And so it's not wrong that you, if you've been betrayed or rejected, it's not wrong that you're devastated by that. But you can't keep a good man down. And so we're going to get up and we're going to go on. And the first step of that is just accepting it. It happened. I can't keep it from happening. I can't change the past. I can't fix that. All I got is road in front of me. I can't go back and start repairing road that's already in the rearview mirror. Someone say amen. Amen. So I accept the fact that I've been rejected. Now we're going to begin here for several weeks a new section called Rejecting Rejection, which might sound like a contradiction to accepting rejection, but it isn't. I accept the fact that it happened, but I reject the message that it sent to me. It's trying to tell me who I am, and I'm not the message of rejection. It's trying to tell me how much I matter, and that story is not going to be the message of my life. I'm not who my parents say I am. I'm not who my past says I am. I'm not who my problems say I am. I am who God says I am. Amen. The one who made me, the one who knows me, and to really come into touch with, I'm who God says I am. The pain can begin to go down when I not just accept that it happened, but then, really, really important, I have to reject its message to me. That's what I want to begin to talk about tonight. The message is about, it's called Rejecting Rejection, First This. This is what has to happen even before we start to do that. So let me quickly pray. Father, I pray that you would help me to be mindful of the things here prepared, which are most intended to help those who will hear this message now and those who might even hear it at a later date. It's in your hands that our healing rests, and we pray to be healed from the things that have happened to us. And we pray, God, for others to be healed from the things that have happened because of us. All of it, we pray for your help and your presence here now in Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, I don't know how many of you guys are bringing a Bible. This is everything I do for you guys here in these houses, just so contrary to what you guys have really got me off track here. So, I would never put the scripture up on the screen like I do here. But I just, you got no Bible there. You got a Bible with you anywhere. It's just, you're not hiding it, are you, Matthew? Are you hiding it? No. It's not there, right? You're not hiding it. So, no. My thing is I want, some of you are really new to the scriptures, and I don't want you to feel badly that you don't have it, but ideally would be if you did have a Bible yourself, because then you could go and look at this later and begin to master that a little bit more for yourself, okay? But for right now, I'm going to put it up in front of you, and what I want to do right now is I just want to read a story from the life of Christ and then make some points about it. So the story is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. A great crowd followed Jesus and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. I'm not sure why it is the way that it is, but it is very apparent that there is very little healing going on in the church of Christ in our day. Some places, other places around the world, there is more than there is here. But there is in what I would, you guys know what I mean by the Western world, okay? There is in the Western world a hyper-scientific anti-supernaturalism that allows people to sort of believe in God, but not believe in God for very much. And I figured with this number of people here, I thought to myself, well, there has to be a lot of different denominations. Just call out a denomination, a Christian denomination that you were primarily exposed to growing up. Anybody? Baptist. Go ahead. Assemblies of God. They call that AOG, right? Okay, Assemblies of God, and then someone said, whoever said Baptist, they said it with a bit of anger, and that's perfect for Baptists. Okay, Methodist, who said that? Thanks, Eddie. Oh, who is Orthodox? Where's the Orthodox guy? There you are. Okay, Orthodox. Cool. Like Greek Orthodox? Yeah. Cool. Did you kiss all the pictures and all that stuff?
Oh, I didn't.
But you know about it?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, and Presbyterian? Okay. Catholicism. Who said Lutheran? You guys are like throwing your voice in here. It's good. Okay, Lutheran, anybody else? Yours isn't up there?
Christian Science.
Well, I can think of lots of them, but that was your background too?
No, that was mine.
Okay, Christian Science, let's go. That's the short form for Christian. Okay, that's enough. How often did you see people healed in your Christian upbringing? I mean like healed. I mean like miracle healed. Everybody hold up your hand with the number of times, the number of stories that you could tell currently about seeing someone who was very sick healed. You seen some?
Yeah.
Good. Couple, good. Anybody else? One or two? Couple? Okay. Two? Those are great stories if you have them. And I don't think I told the story here before about our son Landon and how he was healed when he was born. I'd love for him to come sometime. He's a great preacher, and he is in Phoenix now, preaching at a church there every weekend with his wife and their three kids. And Landon was born with what's called a, glad you're here, pizza man. Brad, right? Come on, let's give it a hand for Brad.
All right, Brad.
Nothing makes it harder on the preacher than the smell of pizza in the room. But our son Landon was born with what's called a diaphragmatic hernia, which means that his diaphragm didn't close during gestation, which means that he was born and his entire intestines was up in this side of his chest. And his right lung was way over here, and his left lung was, they referred to it as a node, like just a little place where a lung should have been. And most kids who have that die within the first, you know, I would say within the first few days or weeks. And because I think I've talked about that before, I'm just simply going to say that in a very miraculous way, we had people praying all over the country. I just saw him this past summer. He still has the scar here from where the doctors cut him open and moved what was supposed to be here up here, but he still had that lung problem. They were going to do another procedure on his chest and try to pull the air out and move this teeny, teeny left lung. And I was standing there when the surgeon put the x-ray up on the screen and checked the name and put the thing up again and checked the name. Well, of course, we'd been standing around this little, almost like a, I don't know what you would call it. It was like a little flat pan almost that your little baby's laying in with all these lights on them, praying and praying and praying. And the doctor looked at the name, because if you've ever seen an x-ray of a chest, if it has these flowing squiggly lines, then that's a sign of oxygen. And he looked at him, he turned to the intern and said, what's wrong with this boy? And the intern looked and looked and looked, and the doctor said, right, nothing. And hit the light off with his fist and walked out. And through some of the people that we know, he was actually a couple months later speaking at a colloquium, it's called, in Kentucky. And someone asked him about the nature of supernatural healing. And he told the whole story there. But in the hospital, he didn't really know what to make of it. And I mean, without a doubt, our son was healed by the Lord. But why do we see so little healing when there's so much sickness? And why do we see so little emotional healing when there's so many people that are so wounded? I think the primary reason is because we lack faith. Matthew 17, 20, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if you have faith, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, which was the smallest seed of his day, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it will be cast into the sea. Nothing will be impossible for you. And in John 14, Jesus said this incredible promise, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so why is there so little expectation of healing in the church today? Because of a lack of faith. Now, I want to put a definition of faith up here for us on the screen so we know what faith is, okay? Faith is believing the Word of God. That's the start of it. So if I were just to say to you, how are you at faith? Are you pretty good at faith? How's your faith? Well, this is what faith is. Faith is believing the Word of God and acting upon it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. That's it right there. Believing the Word of God, that's why we're spending a few minutes looking into it, acting upon it, living as though that is true, no matter how I feel, not guided by my feelings, but by what I believe to be true. And then seeing God bring a good result from that. I think there's so little healing because there's so little faith. And I can think of times in my life where I prayed a little bit and saw very little happen. And I can think of significant times in my life where I prayed a lot. I believe, I'll just say this personally. I believe that when I have knelt down, got low on my knees, and prayed regularly out loud for something according to the will of God, I've never got a no, ever. Sometimes I've got a not yet, and then a yes, and sometimes I've got an incredible yes. That's over 40 years of being a pastor prior to today. So I just want to answer this question from this little story that I read from the Gospel of Mark. Here it is. How can I experience the healing of Jesus? And here's the first thing. So if you want that, if you're open to that, if your heart's open to that, I'm going to encourage you to begin to pray that part of the healing that God wants to bring to you is a supernatural healing. That the sum total, I want your life to be more than the sum total of the good decisions you made. And y'all are making some good decisions, right? And I'm thrilled with those good decisions, but I have faith to believe, Christian, that you're gonna make more of your life than simply the good choices that you're making. I have faith to believe that there's a God who loves you and sees you where you are right now and wants your life to be more than the sum total of the good decisions that you're making. And some of you are going to see family come back to you, and some of you are going to see forgiveness flood your hearts, and some of you are going to see addiction fall away faster than it ever could have, humanly speaking. And it's all going to be because of your deep faith and trust and growing belief in the Lord. And so, how can I experience the healing of Jesus? We must see the futility of solutions apart from Him. So here's this lady. I'm just going to go back to the text and go through it a little bit. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood. This is actually a flow of blood, abnormally constant, not just monthly, bleeding from the womb, resulting, as with any bleeding, in weakness, dizziness, low tolerance to any other diseases. And she had this for 12 years. If you're trying to get through something that is a lot longer it's taking than you ever thought it would take, I like to remember people like this. Her issue was 12 years. And at 12 years and one day, enter Jesus Christ, enter this woman's faith, and then changed forever. Right there in that moment. 12 years waiting and then changed. It's really awesome to think about that. Notice it says in the text, there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. One of the things that is most frequently extant in ancient cultures, or means comes to us by way of ancient cultures reliably understood, is some of the things that they were doing medically, because more copious notes were kept. And historically, this is going back before 1600, here are two of the solutions that were given for a person who had her condition. Sit at a corner of two roads with a wine glass and wait for someone to sneak up and scare you. That was what the doctors were telling her to do. Another one, dig seven holes, burn seven grapevines, and fill each of the seven holes with the ashes of the grapevines. Then go and sit on each pile separately. Hey, we live in a great day, don't we? I mean, you have to only have to go back a couple hundred years till they would get you free from diseases by cutting you and just letting blood run out of you. Imagine her frustration. Notice again that it says she had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. I know that there's people listening right now, and that's actually true of you. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Too many people saying too many things, believing that their speech was this big speech, this helpful speech, this. They're pressing all in for you to hear their words because they have the prescription and they sometimes don't even understand how you got here. I just pray that we won't make that mistake. When a man is suffering, he doesn't need people to show up with naive suggestions. That's one of the great things that's great about us being in the context that we are here, because we're with people who understand and they actually get what it's like to suffer, right? And I'm thankful for our house managers and the compassion that they show. So this lady had really, really been through a lot. And if we want to see the Lord heal us, all in favor of some healing? Amen. We must see the futility of solutions apart from God. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, right? Someone say he's not saying that. Say it. Not saying that. I'm saying don't go to the doctor. We took our son Landon to the doctor, but we just never believed ever that the doctor by himself was going to be the whole answer. So the futility of the solutions apart from him. And maybe you're struggling with depression. I don't think it's wrong to have some medication, but I think that's really only controlling symptoms. And what we really want to do is we want to get to the problems themselves that are causing that. You know, I had prostate cancer in 2008, and I had it again, a recurrence of it in 2000, and in 2018. And that's always on my mind, always having to get tested, always, you know, kind of waiting for that to come back. But at the same time, having a confidence in the Lord and that my days are known to God and that they're numbered by Him. So here's a summary statement that I think sort of, as you think about your trial and your situation and your addiction, I think if the solution to your problem does not leave you closer to God, it was not God's solution for you. Amen. And what you got to understand is that God loves every single person in this room right now. Every person in this room, you are loved by God. Whether you know it or not, doesn't change the fact, you know, you don't have to know it. There's groceries over at the Jewel right now. Isn't there, Chuck?
Absolutely.
Chuck works at the Jewel. There's groceries over there right now. You say, well, I've never been to a Jewel. Well, people who have been there know. And in the same sense, you don't have to know that God loves you. You're surrounded by people who have experienced the love of God and have seen it impact so many people's lives. So if you don't know it personally, take it from some of us. There is a God who made you, and He does love you. If you can't translate that from your history, well, let's start working on a new history, okay? All I can tell you is I'm here to bring this message to you and let yourself hear God. You're not just at any halfway house here, y'all. Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
You're at a very particular place with a very particular passion to help you in a very particular way. And to supplement all the wonderful things that we get at the AA meetings, to supplement that with some of that investment in those early steps and God as we came to know Him. And I love that Chuck said at the beginning of this that you may be very angry at God. You may be very frustrated by some of the things that you believe He allowed that you don't understand yet. That's all right. God's not weak, believe me on that. And He can handle all your questions. Read the book of Psalms sometime when David's like, how can this happen? And the prophets are like, how can this be? And how long are we going to have to wait? God's able to handle our questions. It's the running from Him that causes the problems, not the bringing of the objections to Him. Believe me, He can handle that. So how can I experience the healing of Jesus? We must see the futility of efforts apart from Him. The second thing is we must believe that Jesus can and will heal us. Those are really important parts, that He can do it. Notice that it says in the text that she had heard the reports about Jesus. And that's happening for a lot of people here right now. What happened to her happened to you. You have a problem. You need some help. You don't know entirely about Jesus yourself yet, but here you are in a place and you're hearing about Him. People are saying, I got to tell you. You're like, I don't know. And typically when people are not that open to the Lord, it's because they knew some crappy Christians. I promise you, no one in this room has climbed over more crappy Christians than me to be standing here tonight still believing strongly in the Lord. All right, we have to take our eyes off of other people and put them back on the Lord. There's a story also in the Gospels where Peter's out and in a storm, and one time Jesus was asleep in the boat and He calmed the storm. But we've been to the Sea of Galilee, and on a boat out in the Sea of Galilee, it's prone to violent storms, sudden storms. And another time Jesus came walking on the water to the disciples. It was a miracle. And if you struggle with miracles, believe me, the Bible teaches that He spoke and the worlds were formed. So don't be frustrated with the walking on the water thing. If you spoke the universe into existence, walking on the water is a cakewalk, right? And Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter saw Him, and he said, Lord, tell me to come to you. And he's like, come on. He gets out of the boat, and he starts to walk. He was looking at Jesus, but the Bible says that the moment he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the wind and the waves, he started to what? Started to go down. And I'm going to tell you, the wind and the waves, so often as other Christians and that church and that pastor and those people and my parents used to shove this down my throat or whatever the dynamic is, Jesus has never failed anyone, but His representatives fail on a regular basis. All right? So as you think about faith, think about really being between you and the Lord and not about all these denominational representations where there's not much healing going on anyway. And I'm not wiping them out. I'm not saying don't ever go to a church like that. Not at all. I'm just saying Jesus didn't start any of these. Okay? And all of them are aberrant in their own way. So we must believe that Jesus can and will heal us. She had heard about Jesus. It says in the text that she came behind him. And I'm going to tell you that I am very, very blessed by every person who made the decision to come here tonight. I'm very, very happy that you are here. I have looked every single person in this room in the eye multiple times, and I want you to know that I'm really, really happy you're here. God can go a long way in revealing himself to a person who just shows up. Just shows up. And as I said a few weeks ago, God is a big part of the 12 steps, but he's not really talked about very much at AA meetings. So this is just a once a week meeting for you to give God a chance, just to open yourself up a little bit. And we're going to have a little time of prayer when I close here in just a moment. But we're just opening ourselves up a little bit to this Jesus who heals. Wouldn't it be awesome to think that my sobriety isn't entirely upon my willpower? Wouldn't it be awesome to think that there's something that the God who made me would do to garrison about my heart and keep me protected and stronger? To guide my steps so that I don't fall at a place of temptation? To give me a foreboding and almost a fear of certain things before I can even see the danger so that I'll just pull back a little bit? I believe the Lord wants to support your sobriety in every way. This woman believed in Jesus' ability. She was done with these lame doctors. She believed in his ability and she came toward him. She also believed in his willingness, which is another thing that we have to overcome, because some of us feel like, well, God wouldn't do anything for me. I mean, I've seen God do some things for other people, but listen, this might be the sentence for you. If you believe that God's blessings are for other people and not for you. If you believe that God is secretly somehow angry with you over the things that you regret, then you need to know a lot more about God. All right? I promise you, he loves you with an everlasting love. He longs for your victory. He longs for your security. He longs for your confidence and going forward into all the good things that life is to bring. And he is available to aid in that. But as I said already, we don't see much healing because there's so little faith. We have to believe that Jesus can, and we have to believe that Jesus can and will heal us. And then this. We must continue by faith for Jesus' healing. So to put it all together, we must see the futility of the solutions apart from him. We must believe that Jesus can and will heal us. And this is the last thing. We must continue by faith. Because I think it's really interesting as I just wrap up this story. Verse 29, she touched his garment. Immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned and, "Who touched my garments?" Now, the disciples are always kind of clueless, right? It's like, "Touch you? Who touched you? You're in a crowd. Everyone's touching everyone." That's what they said. You see the crowd pressing around you and you say, "Who touched me?" I think he just ignores them a lot. Because he just looked around to see. And we're the disciples, by the way. We're the people that don't. Anybody here would be honest enough to say, a lot of times I don't get it. A lot of times I'm not figuring it out. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed from your disease." And my goal for this message is that you would have a deepening, or at least a beginning of hopefulness. The part of why you're here or listening to this message right now is because the Lord wants to do something for you. Something that might become the greatest story of your life. Something that is so far beyond what you've ever known that it's hard even for you to imagine it now. But I want you to lean upon my faith, and I want you to lean upon Chuck's faith and other people who are here. We're not wasting our time, and God is not reluctant. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. But I understand that it hurts to hope. Just hurts. Just easier to say it's not in the cards for me. But I'm going to just play a song right now. It's kind of a prayer, and we did this once last year. And I want you to look at the words on the screen, and I want you to think about the song, and then I'm going to get up and close us in a word of prayer. And what this song is inviting you to do is to believe that God's work in you has only begun. It's just begun. And I want you to just kind of let that in a little bit and just be like, okay, maybe. Listen to this.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.